book of Revelation. We are in chapter 19. What an exciting text we have before us this evening. You guys have already studied it, so you already know. But it answered a question that everyone asks. People want to know, so what's going to happen in the world? What's all this stuff coming to? The scientists talk about it, don't they? Well, the sun is burning out at X amount of rates of time. And so if it's burning like it is, we could end. But nobody will come. The scientists know that it's got to wear out. Okay? They know it's going to end. They do. They know that energy burns up and eventually it's gone. You know that because you put gas in your tank, right? And it's costing you. So we know it's going to end. Everybody hopes it doesn't end, you know. I mean, if you don't know God, if you don't know the Lord, you hope it doesn't end while you're still alive. I don't know what it would be like for the sun finally to go. And they don't talk about a supernova when stars explode and kind of go out of existence. But do you want to talk about it? What would that be like? If our sun did a like, ooh, just a final flare and exploded. The scientists aren't talking about that stuff, but is it possible? Absolutely. We know it is because we study these things. And they talk about it happening out there, way beyond. But they're kind of sticking their heads in the sand because they really don't want to bring it up here. Because up here confronts man with the reality of, guess what? You're going to die and life as you know it. Guess what? It's going to end, man. This world. Jim Morrison in my day was singing, "This is the end, my only friend, the end." You know, and. But more recently, R.E.M. sings, "It's the end of the world as we know it." A little more joyful. But it's still the end. You see, the day is coming when this is all going to end. And the question is how will it end? How's it going to end? What's going to happen? Well, we see God speaking with authority. Everybody else is guessing, man. They're all guessing. But God's word and the one that began it all makes sense that he ends it. You know, the guy that writes the movie and he begins to direct it, he has a day when he ends the directing of that movie and then he starts another one. But they all have beginnings and ends, right? And so we have here the Lord really laying out. We saw Babylon go down the tubes, the kind of the head of the perversion. City taken apart, taken down last time together, and then after these things. I mean, it's literally hell on earth right now. I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord. For true and righteous are his judgments because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and has avenged, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." And again they say, "Alleluia," and her smoke rises up forever and ever. We see really the end of the world as we know it. But followed quickly on the heels of what's going on in heaven. What are they singing in heaven? The world's singing a sad song. But in heaven, the saints are crying out, "Finally. Finally. Finally something has been done." You see, when this world and the wickedness and the perversion of that is going on in this world, and the senseless killings and the terrorists and all the famine and disease and problems that we face. When it's all over, heaven rejoices. The world's crying the blues, but heaven is rejoicing. And the word alleluia is the Greek form of the Hebrew word alleluia, which simply means praise the Lord. Maybe we'll join in. Oh, everybody likes it. We all like it. Those who believe in God, those who have committed their lives and been redeemed by Christ. Guess what? Don't you love singing the alleluia chorus? For the Lord God. I wonder if that's going to be the inspired version. Only I have an idea that it's going to be cranked up a lot louder than you've ever heard it in your entire life. Because the choir, just in and of itself, then add in the instruments. And I don't know what the Lord sounds like, you know, but I'll tell you what, everyone will join in, and he may even sing along. And guess what? Good news. We'll all have perfect pitch. That'll be awesome. Nobody out of pitch. Nobody out of time. And God judges his enemies. That's why the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't you take it into your hands. I will repay. Yeah, but it's wrong. I'm going to get him. I'm going to beat the daylights. No. You know what? God will take care of it. The time is coming, and when he settles it, he'll do it right. And the city, Great Babylon, the whore it's called, the harlot, the beast, and all his buddies, and Satan and all his minions will be defeated. Both the religious and the socio-economical system that has polluted the world. I mean, hey, you know what? A newsflash. The occupiers all got out there today, you know? Got out there protesting. Hey, here's what they need to do. They need to really protest right and give their lives to Jesus Christ and do it right. That'll fix it. God's going to fix it. And so they're singing here. And of course, while they're singing, they the song emphasizes the lyrics, if you would, the attributes of God here. As we read through this, we see there that the glory and honor and a power and salvation and righteousness and truth and his judgments, it's all him. He's right on, man. Everything about him is right. People are crying out that things be set right. Everything about this, about our God, is right. And listen, he has been reigning on the throne in heaven, but now he's about to conquer the thrones of the earth as well. In his sovereignty, presently, he permits evil men and the demons to do their worst, but the time has come here in chapter 19 where he's going to say, that's it. And he's going to shut it all down. And then it says here, and they said, alleluia, for her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. And then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters. And as the sound of mighty thundering saying, alleluia, for our Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife has made herself ready. So we see here now the worship going on in heaven. And we are introduced here to the bride. Of course, the bride is the church. We who are believers in Jesus Christ. And all this singing is going on in the middle of this scene here. The sovereign Lord is speaking. The sharp sword of his word coming out, and then the people are engaged in this praise service. That's why we need to make sure we're doing it now. We ought to be practicing. That's something that should be pouring forth from our lives on a regular basis. I just spent a little time with my mom yesterday. And you know what? She just turned 83. And the thing that I'm seeing is she's growing. She came up, and all we did was just bring her up. I went to Riverside, picked her up and came up and brought her to the house to see the grandkids, and the family came around, and she hung around for a few hours. And when I was driving her back down last night, she goes, "I'm just so excited. The Lord has been, I am so blessed. I am just so blessed. I mean, just God has blessed my family. It's just such a blessing, and God has been so good to me, and I'm able to get around. I have my friends that I have to take to the doctor in the hospital, and they can't get around, but God has been so," and she's just praising the Lord. Just rejoicing in the Lord. You know what, guys? That's what it's all about, man. And you know, sometimes us guys think, well, that's for the chicks to do, man. We're men. We can say a robot, praise the Lord, but it's got to be, it can't have any sweetness or gentleness or even genuineness to it. Ah, but it ought to. And honestly, when people look at your life, man, when they look at my life, I'm talking about the guys you worked with today, the gals you worked with today. I'm talking about your family. Do they see and sense in you the practice of heaven, the language of heaven? A couple of things. What are they? The Word of God and worship of God. That ought to be flowing out of our lives. And listen, I know we blow. We all blow it. I don't want to set the standard up here and say, listen, you ought to be like me, man. Like, I'm always like just praising and I'd be lying to you. When I teach up here and tell you guys, I'm talking to myself as well. I'm God saying, yeah, pastor, pay attention. You can preach it, practice it. We can all do that, can't we? We can preach it. But let me ask you, honestly, how's your practice? There's mighty thunderings, man, going on. I like that. Again, that whole idea there in verse 6 speaks of how loud this song and singing is. And so, again, if you don't like loud music, you better get ready. We need to be glad. We need to rejoice, verse 7 says, and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Speaking, of course, of the bride. And to her it was granted, in verse 8, to be arrayed in fine linen. Clean and bright. A bride. Remember when my daughter was getting married? There's no such thing in a bride's vocabulary is that's good enough. Men, if you have daughters and they're getting married someday, you don't just say, well, that's good enough. That's going to have to do. You know, she doesn't understand that. Why? Because in her mind, she's the bride. She's got this wedding planned out. And she wants to look the best and everything to be perfect and just right and according to plan. And she doesn't live in the good enough world. As the bride of Christ, man, yeah, we're clean. We're clean. We're cleansed. It's not a matter of whether you're the bride of Christ or not. If you believed in Jesus Christ, there's no question about your salvation or whether you're getting in or not. The question is what are you going to look like when you get there, you know? We want to be clean. That cleansing process happens presently. How? Well, just as we are directed, men, towards our own brides, to cleanse her with what? The washing of the water by what? The Word of God. And then it's not just enough to have the Word of God. Again, we see here that this bride was made ready. She made herself ready. You see, digging into the Word, being into the Word. And it says as well that she had clean, bright, fine linen, rather clean and bright, for the fine linen is what? The righteous acts of the saints. Well, if I'm saved, I don't have to worry about that. I believed in Jesus Christ and I can't earn, the gift of eternal life that God's given me, and I'm right with God and forgiven because of what Jesus has done. That's all right. That's good. It's correct. But guess what? Men, the righteous acts of the saints, why do you want to do right presently? Why do you want to do right? Why do you want to keep the commands of God? It's because you know what? Someday it's going to count. Not for your eternal destiny. Oh, don't misunderstand that. It's not going to count for that. But that the bema seat judgment in heaven, when God tries your works to see what sort they were, in other words, why you did and what motivated what you did, don't you want rewards? Don't you want, again, as I've often said, don't you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, rather than half done or almost done? You know what I mean? How do we beautify ourselves? I read my Bible today. I got through my 5 chapters. That's good enough. No, not good enough. You see, we don't want that good enough mentality. We want to be like Paul, who did what? He pressed towards a mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He pressed in, man. He pushed on. Yeah, so you struggle with this area. So you failed in that area. Keep getting up and move ahead and start working on, hey, I got to make a sacrifice. I got to deny myself. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Yeah, I know. So God has to change it. God changed me. Give me the will to do what you've called me to do. It's going to count for something. It's going to count for something. And I believe it will really, ultimately, we'll all enjoy heaven, as I've said previously. Just like you set a kid, kids in a room and they all enjoy playing with things. Some are playing with, the pots and the pans and banging them. Some, though, are playing with the iPad and, they're having a little more fun because, they got a little bit more on the ball there. And so they're playing with the iPad. Hey, we all watch a cartoon. I can sit down with, and I did yesterday with my granddaughters and was watching this cartoon. And you know what? Addie has a certain ability to enjoy that cartoon that's far greater than her sister Riley, because she's older. So she, not only does she see the colors and all and the things that are going on, but she understands, the dialogue that's being said. And so does little Reagan enjoy that cartoon as well. She's watching the colors and she doesn't understand anywhere near the action that Riley does. She just sees the colors going on, and we're all enjoying the cartoon, but they have various capacities to enjoy that cartoon. I believe that's what it's going to be in heaven. And you're going to have various capacities, and I'm going to have various capacities dependent on the faithfulness and the pressing towards the mark that God has called us to in life presently. You've been faithful in the small things, He'll make you what? This is taught in the Scriptures. This is not something I'm making up. So we see here that the bride, and I got to get going here. What time is it? Gee. Okay, so anyhow, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. There, after the Bema Seat judgment, when we arrive into the presence of the Lord, I believe this happens here just before the feast, as this linen is given to us and we are adorned with this. I believe that's where the Bema Seat judgment takes place. And then we enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says there that we're going to have a great time. I don't know what we're going to eat. I don't know what it's going to taste like. I just know it's going to be the most awesome meal that you've ever had. And you know what's going to make it more awesome? We'll be there together. No fighting, no bickering. Nobody yelling at each other around the table. Nobody complaining. I didn't get as much as he did. Oh, how come there's not more? I hate that. Won't that be nice? A meal that everyone, no matter who, will fully be enthralled with. And everybody will just be going, oh, this is great. Oh, this is great. Everybody. No exceptions. Oh, this is awesome. This is great. That'll be heaven, all right. But the thing that will really make it is the Lord will be there. And we'll be having the meal with Him, prepared by Him for us. And John's so excited and thrilled about that. He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, this angel. But he said to me, John, get up again. What'd you get? You keep falling. He says, do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's the Lord, man. It's all His deal. It's not anything else. And you need to worship Him. If you want to know what, you know, the Bible's all about and what prophecy is all about, it's all about Jesus. Now I saw in verse 11, heaven opened and behold a white horse, and him who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Well, you know, you don't have a question about who this is, do you? He's not like the one that came previously. The imitation of riding on the horse. This is the real deal here. This is none other than Jesus Christ himself, because it says his name is called the Word of God. Now, I'll bet you some of you are saying, so what is that thing, you know, what's that name written that no one knew except himself? I'd love to tell you. I really, really would, but I don't know. I could make some stuff up and make it interesting. I actually messed with it for a while thinking, I wonder. And you look at it and you're going, so Lord, what is, and you know what? I don't know. But his identity is made very clear when it says here, he is called the Word of God, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen and white and clean, followed him on white horses.